Let the church say amen. It is so good to see you here on this morning. What an opportunity God has given us to come to worship Him in spirit and truth. And we just hope and pray that we may honor His name in everything that we do. We thank God for His blessings. Thank God for Brother Mark and reading us God's word on this morning. He always does a tremendous job. Appreciate that so very much. Appreciate Deacon Ronnie Powell opening us up, getting our minds ready to receive the word of God. Also, Ronnie, I want to thank you for that prayer that you offered up on my behalf. I always appreciate that because it is a very important thing to come before God's people to teach His word. And then Brother Larry Clark, thank you very much for the way you have led us on this morning. And I'd like to take a moment or two just to say something to you and Sister Beverly, because I want you to know that we, your family here at Arlington, have been praying diligently for you all. Amen. And for Andrea. And we appreciate so very much, and we love you very much. Amen. In fact, this lesson that I'm going to do on this morning was inspired by you too. You've been on my mind, been on my heart, and just want you to know that I love you very much, and we appreciate your love and your kindness that you've always extended to this congregation. And Brother Larry, I'll never forget when Brother Larry decided he was going to bring his family here at Arlington. He met with the elders in a very humbling way. He said, "I come here with no fanfare." That's the word that he used. "I don't want it. I just want to worship. I just want to serve God." And Brother Larry is a brother who had made a name for himself, if you will, with the tremendous work that he had done with the young people over at the Westside Congregation for many years. But he came and said, "Yeah, I just want to go to work." And they're very private people. And we appreciate you so very much. And we are praying for you all. And we love you very much. Thank you. As we talk about this lesson on this morning, I want to go back and read where Mark read so that we can hear again those powerful words, because I believe in those words that we find in the Bible that is so encouraging to us. It gives us the sense of victory to let us know that we will be troubled in this life, but we will not be overtaken. These are inspiring words for you and I in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, starting at verse number 7, the Bible says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." That should encourage us to let us know that if we would just hang on in there, that victory will be ours. And that's what we seek to have in this life, which can be very, very difficult. I want to talk about this morning about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Not the one that resides in the great city of Cleveland, Ohio, where Sister Afridi is from, but that one that resides above. The Hall of Fame of Hall of Fames, if you will, where true superstars will be, who lived their lives, who may have struggled in this life. Many things have happened, but they hung in there, and in the end, they find themselves with God forever. You see, to me, that is a superstar. A biblical rock and roll superstar. Now, the reason I use rock and roll, because as we look in this life, you see many things happen. Sometimes our lives get rocked. Can anybody relate to that? Bad things happen. Our whole world is turned upside down. We are rocked. But rather than drop, you see, like a rock, we want to roll like a tide. See, Jerry, you attacked me on this morning, but I'm turning the other cheek. When your world get rocked, Don't drop. Roll. Roll. That's what you and I need to do. You see, the ultimate Hall of Fame we find in the Bible that will lead us to that place where we want to go. You see, there are members in the Hall of Fame in the Bible that are so famous because the book is so prestigious that they're not even named. They are unnamed, but yet they are as famous can be. Let me cite you some examples. Over in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, the Bible says what? Remember Lot's wife. What's her name? We don't know. It's not important. But yet she is famous because she is in the Hall of Fame, which is the Word of God. How about over in John chapter 4, verses 7 through 26? Remember the Samaritan woman at the well? What is her name? We don't know. But that discourse that she had with the Lord at Jacob's well have us to know her for an eternity. This lady is famous, even though she has no name or is unnamed. How about we continue, if you will, in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. Remember the man that's born blind? What is his name? We don't know. But yet he's in the Hall of Fame because he is famous. You see, that's how prestigious the Bible is. That its members are famous even though we don't even know their names. Somebody say, well, you know, their world was rocked and changed when they came in contact with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? You see, when you come in contact with Jesus, your world will never be the same. When you hear about the Word of God and you're being taught, your world will never be the same. Now, what you do with it is going to determine in the end where you're going to be. But your world, you see, is rocked when you come in contact with Jesus. But somebody say, wait a minute now. Lot's wife is in the Old Testament. She didn't come in contact with Jesus. Are you sure about that? The Bible says what in Revelation chapter 1 and verses 8. Here's what the Bible says, and this is what people need to understand. I'm just going to go here for a moment because I want to make this point so we will know that people really need to know who Jesus Christ, our Lord, really is. Isn't that right? When you begin to look at the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord is speaking. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Don't tell me Jesus was not back in the day of Lot and his wife. He's always been around, you see. In fact, who was it that told us to remember her? It was the words of Jesus. He was always there. And we need to know that going forward. The rock and roll superstars that you and I talk about in this Bible. We're going to talk about two. One on this morning and one on tonight, Lord willing. This morning we're going to talk about Joseph. Tonight we're going to talk about Job. Joseph is a superstar in that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's in there because his world was rocked. And you know what Joseph did? He rolled. As we look at his life and begin to look at the Bible and all these things that the Bible has to say about him, it's so much. Because the book of Genesis closes out with the life of Joseph, right? Verses 37, with the exception of chapter 37, with the exception of chapter 38, through 39 through 50, talks about the great man Joseph, a superstar in God's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You see, to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you have to be rocked. You know, it's amazing how people want all good things to happen to them, but they don't want anything bad to happen. If you're going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's something about your life that needs to be known. And sometimes it's not always good that happens, you see. But you need to know that these two individuals that we're going to talk about this morning and tonight Woe were they world rocked. And I'm so glad that you and I can turn to the Word of God and begin to look at their lives and the pieces that was given to them and how they brought it all back together again. And the only way they brought it back together again is their faith in God. Isn't that right? And it lets us know in our lives, when we get rocked and our lives fall apart, the only thing that we can do to bring it all together again is to keep our faith in God. So we're going to look at the life of Joseph very quickly. And because it's so much, we have to go through, and I can't read everything about him, so I'm going to talk about some things that maybe you know about, but we're going to touch on them, but I can't go all of it for the sake of time. But in Genesis chapter 30, verses 22 to 24, you'll find out that Joseph was special. Joseph was born to Rachel. You know the story, right? Rachel was the younger sister of Leah. You see, Jacob loved Rachel, but was tricked by Laban to marry Leah. You know the story. And now he worked those 7 years for her and had to work 7 more years to get Rachel. But God had looked down on the situation. And Leah was able to have children. But Rachel was not able to have. God had closed her womb, the Bible said. And she became so frustrated, and like many of us were going to try to help God out and had her handmaiden go in to begin to have children. But God had a plan. And when Joseph came along as the 11th son, next to the last son of Jacob, it caused all kind of problems because, you see, Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. That's just the way it was. And when this son came along, he favored him over all the rest. And at the time, Joseph was the youngest, right? And he was pampered some, as you can see. And Jacob loved him more than the rest. How do we know that? Because that's what the Bible says, right? Look at Genesis chapter 37 and the verses 3. Genesis chapter 37 and the verses 3. The Bible says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. He brought him a special coat and made it for him because he loved him. And I can imagine that coat must have been beautiful. And it certainly signified to all the other brethren, the siblings, that Joseph was special. You know, it's a problem sometimes when you favor one child over the other. That doesn't go lost on the other children. And it doesn't go away with age either. In fact, many problems that you have in families that will grow up causing siblings to turn on siblings go back to the love that they think they had or didn't have from their mother and father. And this was the case with this man, Jacob. He loved Joseph more than the rest. And that did create a problem because in verse number 4, the Bible says, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. That's the situation that you're in. Now, no fault of Joseph, right? But his brothers hated him because their father loved him more than them. It happens. When you read through verses 5 through 11, you'll find out that Joseph also was a dreamer. He was able to dream and to see things, and in this occasion he dreamed that his brothers and his mother and father would all fall down and bow to him. He was a bold young man. To tell his father about that dream, for you have to understand the situation back then. Little brother has no say. You go somewhere and you sit down and you say nothing, but yet he's bold enough to go and tell of this dream and say, Daddy, you know, you and mom and all my brothers, you fell down and you bowed down to me, and it angered Jacob, did it not? Say, boy, are me and your mother also to fall down and bow before you? Don't say this. Don't speak of this. But he did. Well, you know, Joseph was living a good life. He had better love. He had better clothes. He had a better future in his dreams. But Joseph's world was getting ready to be rocked because those same brothers who now envy him, who hated him, saw him coming from afar off and say, "Here comes that dreamer. The one that Father loves more than us. He's on his way." In fact, if you look at verses 18 through 36, you're going to find that Jacob sent him out to check on them. And when they saw him coming, they say, "Here he comes." And they began to think about evil things and say, "When he get here, let's kill him." That's how much they hated him. Right? They wanted to end his life. But the oldest brother, Reuben, said, "No, don't kill him. We'll toss him in a pit without water. We'll let him suffer. And then we'll take a wild animal and kill it and take that coat, that old coat that Daddy gave him. Surely Daddy would know that he gave him this coat. And send it back and say, 'We don't know what happened to our brother, your son. Perhaps a wild beast got him, and here's his tunic. Do you recognize it?'" What a terrible thing to do to your father. But that's how much they hated their own brother. You see, his world was now rocked. And you begin to see that as he was in that pit and they decided not to kill him, that a band of travelers was coming. And they sold him to them, right? Sold into slavery. And not only that, but as they purchased him and began to go to Egypt, they sold him again to a man named Potiphar. And in that place, you see, Joseph found himself in this master's house. Look at chapter 39, verses 2 through 4. When he was at the house of Potiphar, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. Now, see, that's good news right there. If you and I can only know that God is with us no matter where we are. The Bible says, "And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of the house, and all that he had, he put under his authority." Yes, his life was rocked, but now it's beginning to roll with Potiphar. You know, got a reprieve, got a break. A bad and terrible thing happened to me, but now I find myself, you see, overseer of this man's house, and now I'm working things, and things are going well. But you know, it doesn't take long before problems to come. Joseph was a young man, a handsome man, who went about his master's house doing the work. God was with them and everything began to prosper, and we have a happy, happy master. But he had a wife, right? Who longed her eyes at Joseph, a young man, who kept telling him to come and to lie with me, but he wouldn't do it. He said, "How can I do this great sin against God? And against the master of this house who had given me everything, you see?" He was not willing to do it. And he began to flee from her. And she grabbed a part of his garment. And when her husband came home, said, "See what you brought upon us, this reproach? This man came in his house and tried to rape me." And he found that this master, believing his wife, was so upset, you see, cast Joseph into prison. His world was rocked once again. He was in prison, you see, after being lied upon by this woman. But you know what thing about him? Joseph lived his life and he truly rolled. Because after he left that place and went to prison, he also had favor in the eyes of the keeper, did he not? He made the very best of whatever situation he could be in. I love that about Joseph. He was not a complainer. He didn't give up. He didn't question God and say, "God, you know, how can I be here and then you throw me here? I'm up and I'm down. I'm up and I'm down. I don't know what to believe." He kept on, did he not? And that's one great thing that we can say about Joseph.
You see, he found himself in prison. And because he had those dreams and was able to interpret dreams, there was two, the butler and the baker, who had displeased Pharaoh. And he cast them into the same prison where Joseph was. And they began to talk about their dreams and how things went. And they both told them that I had a dream that I was going to be back, the butler said. And he told him, said, that means that you're going to be restored in 3 days. You're going to be back in your rightful place again. And the baker began to tell his story as well and said, not so good for you, for in 3 days you are going to be hung. And it all came true. But you know, after doing this good deed for the butler, Joseph said, remember me. But the Bible says in chapter 40, at verse 23, here's what the butler did. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. That's how people do you, right? Even when you do them good, they'll forget about you. Yeah, they'll take your favor while you're giving it. But as soon as they get out of the way, you can't do anything else for them in their minds, they will forget you. Shame, he did. He forgot him. So, as his world is being rocked by all these different things, he continues to roll. When we begin to look at his life. In Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 36, you can read that. You know the story. You know what happened there. That Pharaoh himself had a dream. And all his men, all that was on the payroll, could not interpret a dream. And he got so angry with them, you see. But now the butler remembers. Because there's something in it for me. He remembered how Joseph interpreted his dream. And he told him about it. And you know the story if you read in the context of the story that's given to us. And Joseph indeed went down and began to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And what I love about it is Joseph said, I can't do anything. It is God that interpreted the dream. See, that's the beautiful thing about Joseph, his spirit. He always gave glory to God. Did he not? So you begin to look at this life of him. He began to show that God is going to interpret your dream and it's going to work out. Because all nations came to Egypt to be fed. That became a great country, you see. All because it was orchestrated by Joseph, because God was with him. You know, in chapter 41, verses 37 through 57, you know how Joseph rose to power, right? Second in command because of the great things that he had did for this king. The life of Joseph, a true superstar, one that we can read about and to know. But you know what? It wasn't easy for him, was it not? It wasn't easy for him. But he kept on because he had a faith in God. The whole world came to be fed and was at his feet. And just like he dreamed, his brothers all came down and bowed down to him because of the dreams and the man, the great man that he was. Joseph's life was rocked by envious brothers. His world was rocked because he was thrown into a pit. His world was rocked because he was separated from the only life that he knew. His world was rocked being sold by a band of travelers. His world was rocked because he was a slave in Egypt. His world was rocked because of a lying mistress that was in the house. Rocked because he was thrown into prison. His world was rocked again because he was forgotten. Rocked his world was. But Joseph, rather than drop, he rolled. And boy, did he roll. Because you begin to look at his life begin to roll, you see, because he did not question God. His life rolled because he did not become bitter. Rolled because he did not forget to honor God and trust God in all things. His life rolled because he allowed God to receive all the glory in his life. His world rolled because he did not take revenge on those who did wrong unto him. What a spirit. What a man Joseph was. You see, when you begin to look at our lives may indeed be rocked. And I know the Clark's world is not the only one that's being rocked. Many of us here, look at the Mitchells. The whole world was rocked. Everything that happened in here, things happened. Everybody, your world will be rocked. And if your world has not been rocked yet, I'll just say this to you, keep on living. Because if you keep on living, it is going to happen. Our world was rocked last month. Your world was rocked with all kinds of things that happened in your life. Perhaps there was a divorce in your life. Your world was rocked. You lost a loved one. Your world was rocked. Don't drop. Let's roll like Joseph did. That's all we have left to do, right? When you look at the sport of boxing, I used to like boxing. I don't like it anymore. But when they box, you know, they say you want to roll with the punch, right? You got to roll with it. Because if a grown man hits you standing still, you're going to be out. But if you roll with and it goes, you got a chance, you see? So you roll with the punches. That's how life is. See, we got to roll with the punches. And the only way I know to roll, who I know to roll with, is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When people ask you, say, well, how do you roll? You let them say, I roll with Jesus. Because he is the one that's going to get me over in this life. Our world will continue to be rocked. I wish I could give you something different to say, but that's just life the way it is. It is going to happen. It's not that it might happen. It is going to happen. So the best thing we can do is look at the life of Joseph and great men like him, superstars like him, and say, how did they deal with it? They roll. Rock and roll. The last thing that you and I need to do is to drop, to quit. We got to roll with the punches. And when we do that, you see, we will be a blessing unto God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 through 9, which we read for you twice now. Did you see those words? Did you see those in there? Yes, we're going to get punched. We're going to get knocked down. But we got to get back up. Keep on moving and keep on living for God. Because you don't know what an inspiration you are to someone else. That's why I look at the cards this morning. I wanted to identify you because you are an encouragement to us this morning. To be in the house of God, you see, to worship. Whatever's going on in your life, you know that I come to worship God. And because God sees that, because God knows that, he will bless you, he will bless us, and all we need to do is hang in there with God. You see, it's a battle and it's a struggle. We're going to get knocked down. I don't know who told us. I don't know why we have convinced ourselves that life is going to be just easy street. Whoever said that? I know what we want. I know what we strive for. We do all that we can to make sure that we're comfortable, right? That's why many of us in the retina are fanning ourselves. We want to be comfortable. I'm not on you. I'm just saying, just the way it is. Life is difficult. But what we need is to come together. When one of us hurt, all of us hurt. Isn't that right? We all need to be there to pull for one another. We all need to remind each other the most important thing in the world. And that is to be faithful unto God to the end. That's the best thing you can tell me. No matter what happens in my life. And I'm not trying to stand up and say, let me have it, give it to me. I'm just like anybody else. I don't want problems. I don't welcome them. But when they do come, come whisper in my ear and let me know that, hey, God is in control. No matter what happens in your life, you see, God is in control. Yes, you may not get what you want. You may lose what you love. But God is in control. Because one day, all this is going to be burnt up. It's not going to matter one bit, you see. We are on this, in this world, to live for God, to make heaven our home. Because then, and only then, when that happens, you see, when we close our eyes to this side of eternity, and we find ourselves on the other side with God, and I don't know how it's going to work, and you don't either. I know I want to be there. But just suppose that we come across one another and able to say, remember, Remember how it was down there on earth when we lived and life was so difficult. I'm so glad you came to me and told me to hold on. I want you to know that it's well worth it. Thank you very much for reminding me that God is in control. That's what it's all about in this life, right? We are going to die. We are going to have problems. The best thing we can do is get ourselves ready to meet God in peace. So we say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And if we can do that, victory is ours. You know, it's something about that, you know. The Bible tells us that when a woman is giving birth, how much pain she's in. But when that baby comes and she put her eyes on that baby, all of a sudden, all the pain that she went through, it doesn't mean anything because here's what I worked for. This is what I want to see. I think heaven is going to be just like that for you and I. No matter what this pain is going to be in this life, no matter what we go through, no matter what loved ones we lost and all those people that we miss and all that we've gone through, when we get to the other side, when we see God's face in peace, we will say it was well worth it. Don't quit, family. We come a long way. We come too far to quit now, haven't we? We've been through all that we've been through. The devil is going to continue to try to destroy you and I. He's going to try to take away that joy. He's going to try to take away that home in heaven away from us. But we can't let him. We have to hang in there and be children of God in the end. Rock and roll. This lesson was so... I had three titles for it. Three titles. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. When rock, let's roll. And I guess I set it on, when you get rock, don't drop, just roll. Just roll, baby, just roll. We in it for the long haul, right? That's what we in it for. We in it to win it. There's no plan B for you and I. We have to make this thing right with God. And all we do is have a pure heart and do what God says in His Word. Can we do that? If we do that, we will be successful. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. We want you to be. Yes, your world may have been rocked, but God has a plan for you. And He can make it better for you. Just like He did for Joseph, He'll do it for you. He'll do it for me. We can do that, you see. You come by hearing His Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that come to God must believe that He is, and has rewarded them that diligently seek Him. We need to repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you need to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, He says, if you confess me before men, I confess you for my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you for my Father, which is in heaven. Then we all need to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then we all need to remain faithful until the end. And that's what we're talking about on this morning. Revelation chapter 2 and verses 10 tells us about that crown. Be thou faithful until the end. Yes, there'll be trials, there'll be tribulation. Some will be thrown into prison, but don't you quit. Hang in there, because God will bless us, and there is a place for the faithful to be. I can't wait to be there, you see, and we need to do all that we can to strive to make sure that we're there. If you're here this morning, you're a child of God, and you have not been faithful, yes, your world may have been rocked, and maybe you have stopped. Don't. Get back involved. Know that God is able. God can mend all broken hearts. He can make it right, you see. Yes, we will still miss who we miss, but God is greater. And we'll focus on Him. We will be all right. You can change that this morning if you have not been faithful to God. Come down and ask the saints to pray along with you. God will forgive you. He'll put you back on the path where you need to be, and then you can live for Him and glorify His holy name. If you're here this morning, you need a prayer, you know someone that is, why don't you come as together we stand and sing the invitational song.